This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right, baby. Cardinals baseball comes back tomorrow. They will take on the Minnesota Twins. We have a full day of programming. Chris and Amy's show getting started at 9 a.m. We'll go until 12. Then it's Kevin Wheeler and Dave Glover. They will take you into the pregame show. Then the Cardinals open the season against the Minnesota Twins right here on 104.1 FM KMOX. And it is time to go to the guest line. We've got the voice of the Cardinals here on KMOX. John Rooney joins the show. What's going on, John? It's been a while.
Well, it's a nice sunny day, and it looks like it's going to be good weather tomorrow for the opener. So that's what's going on. Time for baseball.
How ready are you?
I've been ready since about the third spring training game.
Yeah, I can see that.
That tends to be when it happens for the broadcasters, everybody from the outside, because, you know, you just want to get it going and see what happens here, right?
And we reached a point in spring training where it was time to break camp, go north, and perhaps we saw the starting lineup in Memphis that Ollie will have in there tomorrow against the Minnesota Twins. Not sure about the batting order, but perhaps that was it. And we'll find out later today, I'm sure, at the workout. But it's a nice matchup. And Sonny Gray had a very, very rough spring. He certainly wasn't feeling well his last outing. But the good ones figure a way to get through things and find something that works. And it's the fourth opening day assignment for Sonny Gray, first as a Cardinal, and he'll go up against Pablo Lopez, who has been really tough on the Cardinals in the past. But I just have a feeling Sonny's going to be all right.
Yeah, that was my question was going to be, how do you know when it's something to be concerned about with a veteran pitcher or when it's just, hey, he's working through something and he'll be ready to go when we start the season?
No, I think you have to give it four or five starts before you start making some kind of conclusion that this particular pitcher is losing it or he's finding his way. And I thought Oliver made a really good comparison between Adam Wainwright losing some of his fastball, yet finding a way to pitch batters and use the movement on the pitches he had to win games. And he ended up winning 200. And I don't know how he won his 200th game because that shoulder and that arm all taped together. I think they used duct tape right along with the regular medical tape to get him through that game. But he figured it out. And Sonny Gray has been studying pitching. He has been evolving as a pitcher ever since he came into the big leagues with the A's. And you have to give him the benefit of the doubt right now because he does have a very good track record. Now, is he going to go 9? No. He'll probably give you about 75, 80 pitches that could get him into the 7th, sometimes in the 8th when he's really on. But you just have a feeling that, okay, he's seen what has worked, what hasn't worked, and put together a game plan for the hitters he's going to face and go about his business come 3:15 tomorrow.
You know, it's such a long season. I know we talk about this over and over again, and Mike Claiborne talking about, well, you don't really know until Flag Day and so forth. But if you are a veteran, like a Sonny Gray starting the game tomorrow, or a young guy like Victor Scott, how does the ratio or algorithm change when you're looking at what I got to put on the field and how I need to balance like durability to make sure I can keep going through such a long season?
Oh, I think it's just the way the guys prepare themselves from day to day. And if you start thinking about it, well, how am I going to make it to September? They won't make it past the 30th of April at that point, because it is a long season. You have to take it, you know, the old proverbial cliche, game by game. And that's the way you play this. It's 162 on the schedule, but it's today's game that matters, and you worry about tomorrow when that time comes. And it is a matter of getting your rest and eating properly and doing the work you need to do to stay healthy, and the time you need to spend with the athletic trainers and whatever. It's all part of the grind they go through from day to day in the major leagues. But for Victor Scott, he got a taste of what it was like last year, and he had some failure. And I think guys have to go through some down times before they get it figured out. And he put a lot of work in the offseason, and I like what I see so far and the results that he put up in spring training. And he earned the right to get an extended look playing center field. So he's in there. Lars Nootbaar staying healthy is going to be another major key, I think, and how we can get him on base, and he can make the plays in the outfield and stay healthy, stay on the field. That's going to be a big key for him, because he has a huge upside, but the injuries have they've kind of curtailed what we've expected out of Lars Nootbaar, what he's expected out of himself, really, because this is a guy who has a great deal of talent. And Wilson Contreras, to me, was the surprise of the spring. Not that he hit. We know he's going to hit and hit for power. But he played really well at first base. The footwork, the timing at first base, working with the infielders. And he was in that lineup every day, it seemed, whether he was at first base or DHing. So to me, that was really encouraging. Ivan Herrera still has to work on his throwing, but he's going to get an extended look behind the plate. And Pedro Páez has done a really good job working with the pitching staff, and they like throwing to him. So the Cardinals have a couple of capable receivers there. And with Contreras going to first base, that keeps him in the lineup, and I think he's going to have a big year because he won't get beaten up behind the plate like catchers get.
You know, what dominated the conversation in the last few weeks was Victor Scott playing so well, getting, you know, is he going to break camp with the team? And I think most people thought he was not going to. So he really did, I think, overlook what Contreras did at first and moving positions. And, John, this is somebody who has... He's done everything they've asked of him, you know? I mean, they make him DH for a while. They take him from behind the plate, but they keep his bat in the lineup. Now they've made him switch positions. He has done all of this gracefully.
And he has done everything he's asked of himself. This guy loves to play. His energy is so necessary in the clubhouse, on the field, just to be in that lineup with the energy he brings to a game. That's what makes Wilson Contreras so important and so special, I think. Where he had some problems behind the plate, he worked hard to try to correct those. And he was better last year. And now going to first base, I still think he's going to have a huge year because he won't take that beating on a day-to-day basis. I remember talking to Carlton Fisk when he was with the White Sox. He got hit on the shoulder with a foul ball in the first inning of a game in April. And it wasn't two more innings, he got hit in the same spot. It looked like a huge target on that shoulder, the bruise he had. But that's what happens. You get hit once, you're going to get hit there again, and you're probably going to get hit with a backswing like Wilson was with a broken arm. Don't have to worry about that when he's over at first. Now, he does have to worry if he has to move his arm into the path of a runner where he's in a full stretch. And I was worried about that because I've seen guys have their careers ended because they stretched toward the shortstop. The throw was to the foul side of the first base line, reaching for it. The runner hit their arm. There goes the shoulder. There goes the career. Yeah. But his footwork and what he's done, Chris, he has made strides at first base that I don't think the Cardinals really expected. And that's because he works so hard, loves what he's doing, and loves to be in there. And that may have been overlooked because he made it look pretty easy, I think.
You know, for most catchers, there's a lot of wear and tear behind the plate. And maybe, I know we were spoiled watching Yadier Molina do it because it seemed like, you know, he could have done it for 30 years. But how much does it elongate Contreras' career to take him away from that position?
Well, Craig Biggio was moved out to second base and then to the outfield and worked out well for him with the Houston Astros. And it does, where you don't have to take that beating, but some catchers, they're able to go through a whole career like Yadi. And I don't know how he did it. You could go in the clubhouse after a game and Yadi would have so much ice with the wrap around his shoulder, his knees, on a hip. He looked like the Michelin Tire Man, and he's kind of hobbling around the clubhouse. And then the next night, here come the Cardinals, and Yadi sprints out there behind the plate. He knew how to get ready for a game. He knew how to take care of himself after a game, and he had to be mentally tough and have a high pain threshold to be able to do what he was able to do all those years. But there are guys built that way, and that's the way they go about their business. But I think Wilson's going to have a really good career because the guy is a hitter. He can mash. But playing first base, I think he's ahead of the game right now. I really like what I see of him at first base, digging balls out of the dirt. We were spoiled by Paul Goldschmidt. I don't know how many errors, 90, 100 errors he may have saved on throws he picked out of the dirt through the course of a year. I didn't add them all up, but it was considerable, the amount of errors he saved. And I think Wilson's going to save a good number of those just because of the work he's put in.
So we talked about Sonny Gray in the rotation. One of the maybe surprises, at least if you go back to the beginning of spring training, I don't think many were expecting it, but Matthew Liberatore ended up winning a spot as the final starter in the rotation, which will be five-man at first and then expected to go to a six-man rotation in the middle of next month. What are your thoughts on Liberatore and how he has looked this spring and what you might expect from him?
Well, I go back to my days with Mark Burley in Chicago. He was in the bullpen and doing a fabulous job for the Chicago White Sox. And I hated to see him come out of the bullpen because finding a reliable lefty, and he had pretty good pop on the fastball back then too. But we saw what he did as a starting pitcher. And I also got to watch him grow into that role. Like I've had the opportunity to watch Matthew Liberatore do the very same thing. He was shut down in many instances coming out of the bullpen and using his fastball and his slider to go right after left-handed batters. Then you have to face the three coming out of the bullpen, three batters. So he'd have usually a righty, lefty, or a couple of righties that he'd have to face. And I liked his attack approach that he had last year. And I think we're seeing a development with Liberatore right now. And talking to Chris Carpenter about going out there and making a pitch at a time. You make the pitch, get the ball back, you're focused on the next pitch. I think we're seeing that from Liberatore, and that's why they're ready to say, okay, this young guy who was projected as a starter when Tampa Bay drafted him and the Cardinals traded for him, we're seeing that unfold right now, and he's going to get that chance. And he's going to go out there, and a bad outing or two, they're not going to send him back to the minors or the bullpen. That's not the game plan right now. They're going to really give him a look, and they feel like that his best days in his career will be as a starting pitcher, and that's the way we're going to begin 2025 with Liberatore.
John, I have good news for you. We are really putting you to work. We're going to bring you back tomorrow. You and Ricky Horton both.
I thought you had a bad joke.
Nope. Well, I wasn't prepared for that.
What?
But now I will be.
Yeah.
So you get to come back with us tomorrow, you and Rick, as we are at Cardinals Nation at Ballpark Village for Kegs and Eggs. And then.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And there are going to be actual eggs there, John.
Finally. There will be eggs.
There have not been eggs at Kegs and Eggs for years.
I know it's a great event, but Kegs and Eggs does not sound appetizing to me at that time of day.
Well.
Or even late at night.
What about just the eggs?
Yeah.
The eggs are all right.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, are you having them separately? That's fine. I can go that. That's good.
Well, yeah, we're putting you to work tomorrow, and then you have to hang out with us once a week all season.
Okay. Well, I think we can do that.
All right.
That's possible.
And don't worry, I'll bring some jokes.
We'll have some jokes.
Okay. What do you call a baked snake?
A baked snake? I don't know.
What?
A python.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. That's actually not bad.
Pretty good.
That's not bad.
See you guys tomorrow.
Thank
Thanks,
you, John
Rooney.